It was Turkey Day at the box office over the holiday weekend. The new Disney animated film Strange World took in a mere $19 million over Thanksgiving. It cost about 10 times that to make the movie. And overall, movie sales over the holiday were lower than many, many Thanksgivings in the past. Let's talk movies now with Aisha Harris, co-host of NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour. Aisha, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And we have John Horn, KPCC entertainment reporter and host of the podcast Retake. John, good to have you back.
Happy to be with you.
Okay, John, stinker of a holiday movie weekend. What happened?
Well, it's what's happened all year. I mean, it's income disparity unlike anything else we've ever seen at the box office. So the rich are getting richer. We have movies like Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, the Top Gun sequel. They're all doing really well. And then there's nothing else left. When Wakanda Forever opened a couple of weeks ago, it claimed almost 9 out of every 10 tickets sold, 87% of the box office.
Oh, my goodness.
Before the pandemic, the top film would take maybe a third of all ticket sales. So what's happening is people are showing up for the blockbusters, and they're not showing up for anything else.
Okay. Aisha, there is one film that did pretty well last week, Glass Onion. This is a follow-up to the 2019 box office hit Knives Out. I loved it. Both of them are murder mysteries starring Daniel Craig as Detective Benoit Blanc. Here's a scene where an assorted motley group of people get these invitations from their friend who happens to be a tech billionaire.
My dear friends, my beautiful disruptors, my closest inner circle.
We could all use a moment of normalcy, and so you are cordially invited.
For a long weekend on my private island!
Where we will celebrate the bonds that connect us, and I hope your puzzle-solving skills are whetted.
Because you will also be competing to solve the mystery
of my murder.
Of my murder. Aisha, intriguing. But here's the thing. It's done very well in the theater, but now it's going to leave the theater? Sounds awfully bad business model.
Yeah, Netflix has always been very much less interested in theatrical release as opposed to trying to gain more subscribers to their streaming service. But I think that for them to decide to only have this play for a week was not the best idea. They've dropped a lot of money on this. And the first movie made around $165 million domestically, which, you know, is really great for a movie that was built off of, you know, no previous iteration. It was a big word of mouth type of film. And then this one only made about $15 million. That's like an estimate. We're not entirely sure because Netflix doesn't actually report the official box office numbers. $15 million is still, in this climate, a pretty impressive feat, but they could have made a lot more money off of this had they extended this beyond just 1 week. So I think it was a pretty not great idea to do that.
I have a slightly contrary take on it. I think the fact that so many people showed up knowing that it was going to be on Netflix very soon is proof of how eager people are to see the film. Also, it's very hard for Netflix to book theaters because most theaters won't touch a Netflix film because they want that long window between a theatrical debut and a streaming premiere. So the fact that they were able to get that many theaters and do that kind of business, I think, is very impressive. People are super excited about this film. The other thing I'll throw out there is, like, when a movie opens theatrically, the studio tends to give out about half the ticket sales. If you're streaming it, you basically keep all the money in-house. So I think it was a good play. Yes, it's a better movie seen with a crowd, but it's clearly going to be really popular on the service.
Yeah. So we can see that on Netflix just before Christmas, December 23rd. Both of you have brought your recommended additional films for the holidays. Aisha, you have another Netflix film, Pinocchio, from Guillermo del Toro, the Oscar-winning director. What is his take on this classic?
This is a very different take and a very pleasantly surprising one at that. You know, earlier this year, Disney released their own version of Pinocchio, which was basically a quote-unquote live-action CGI remake of the 1940 version, which I'd just like to erase that from my memory.
Don't you hold up that little pen thing in front of you and then hit the button?
Oh,
and
my
then
God,
it's gone?
Yes. I think that the Guillermo del Toro version actually does that in part because it is so different from any other iteration that I've seen. It's set in between World War I and World War II and really features prominently the rise of Mussolini and fascism in Italy as a backdrop that is not just a backdrop to throw in, but it's actually used to great effect. And on top of that, the animation is fantastic. It's beautiful. These characters feel alive. And the voiceover work is great as well. You have David Bradley as Geppetto. Geppetto, Gregory Mann as Pinocchio, Ewan McGregor, who's playing Sebastian J. Cricket, as this pompous, he's not as cheery and delightful as the Disney version. And there's a lot of acidity to this version, but there's also a lot of warmth. And by the end of it, I was a mess. I was crying. So I loved this.
John, you have picked Emancipation, which opens in theaters this week. Will Smith stars as a slave in Louisiana who flees to the North after he is brutally beaten. Let's take a quick listen to the trailer.
They beat me. They whip me. They break the bones in my body. More times than I can count. But they never, never break me.
Okay, John, we got to talk Will Smith. This is his first film since that incident at the Oscars when he slapped Chris Rock in front of the world. Are people going to be able to put that behind them, overlook this, and go see Emancipation?
It's a big, big if. And that dialogue you heard from Will comes at the end of the film where he is talking to a white Union general about whether or not, you know, he is willing to fight in the Civil War. And it's a great speech. And you watch that scene, you're reminded of how good Will Smith can be as an actor. At the same moment, you're reminded of how bad he was as a person at the Academy Awards. I just don't know. I think it's going to be a huge issue for a lot of people. Will Smith spent decades building his career, and he blew it in 30 seconds.
Mm. Aisha, you also want to talk about the film Nanny. It focuses on a Senegalese woman who works as a nanny for a white couple in the Upper East Side of New York. What do you like about it?
Well, this is the directorial debut of Nikki Atujusu, who is a really promising filmmaker. It is about a woman named Aisha, who is played by Anna Diop, and she's a Senegalese immigrant who takes a job as a nanny for this wealthy Manhattan couple. It's a horror film, it's a thriller, it's a drama, melodrama, and it draws out this dread out of the lead character's sort of uneasy working relationship with her employers. And so I really want people to go out and see this. It's in theaters right now, but it's going to be on streaming on Amazon Prime December 16th. And I really hope people get a chance to check it out, because there's been a lot of films lately that deal with Black characters in horrific situations. A lot of them are not, they're not doing what they think they're doing in terms of commentary and really effective storytelling. And this film is one that I think is so effective and so good at what it does. And so I hope people really seek it out. Even if it doesn't really feel like a holiday movie, it's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah. And finally, I get to the both of you. How optimistic are you about this holiday season where people actually go to the movies?
I am not optimistic. And I think it's really sad. And I'm going to single out another movie called Women Talking, which is Sarah Polley's film that comes out in late December. If people don't go see these films, she said, Tar, Women Talking in the theaters, these movies aren't going to get made. Yes, there's a market for interesting films on streaming platforms, but if people don't support adult dramas, highbrow films, it's going to be all Wakanda all the time, or Avatar, or Marvel, whatever you want. But if you want to see quality dramas with a group of people in a theater, you got to show up and watch them, because there's no incentive for the studios to keep making them if people don't show up. And people are not showing up right now.
Aisha, no incentive to make them?
I mean, I'm not sure if they'll completely die out. I just think the problem is that they're not going to be coming to theaters. There are some pluses to that. That means more accessibility and perhaps more ways for there to be word of mouth and for people to watch them at their leisure. But I do want people to go to the movies. And that's what I do, even though it's part of my job. Like, I try to go to see movies in theaters, even if I don't have to, because I think it's important. And there is something about doing a date night or doing a family night with your friends and seeing these things happen on screen with an audience. The audience makes all the difference, I think.
We have been talking to Aisha Harris, co-host of NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour, and John Horn, entertainment reporter at KPCC and host of the podcast Retake. And we will have both of your movie recommendations at hereandnow.org. Thanks to you both, and happy holidays.
Same to you.
Thank you. You too.